or I've never read a version of the Bible that didn't have pictures.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guests are Lori Richardson Sweep and Melissa Kersher. They took a road trip to Wyoming to watch the total eclipse, and they tell us all about it. Sounds wicked cool.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
I have wine.
It's true, you do. And Nick Glover.
I'm wineless.
You are, well, but you could wine if you wanted
the wine
to.
Is legally mine.
Technically, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. And we are joined tonight by two guests, not just one guest,
ooh,
but two guests. We have returning guest, our first guest ever on our podcast, and she has returned, Melissa Kersher.
Hi.
Also known as the Sun.
As the Sun. And then we have, what the hell?
You'll get it.
I think I know where this is going.
Oh, dear.
Lori, god damn it, Lori, what's
Richardson
your new
Sweep?
Sweep. I was gonna say Richardson Sweep.
Both are technically correct.
Both are
Lori Sweep?
It's Lori Sweep.
Nice.
It's
Lori,
yeah.
Also known as the Moon.
She got, yeah, that's what I thought we were gonna do. Yeah, all right. So, and the reason we brought Melissa and Lori on is because just a couple of weeks ago, you may have heard something about it. There was a total
eclipse
solar
of the Sun. It got very dark.
Molly really does have wine. Anyway, so there was a total eclipse of the Sun, or a total eclipse of the heart. Perhaps both. I don't know. Hmm. We don't know. But Melissa and Lori drove across the great nation of ours.
We did.
In order partway.
Yeah.
I mean,
like a quarter.
Yeah, you didn't go like Maine to California or anything.
Yeah, like, but it was like a quarter the long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the horizontal way.
Yeah, pretty serious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they drove
half of the north-south way. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they drove to see a total solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that experience. So
you guys were in the path of totality?
We were.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty much dead center. It was awesome.
So describe what the plan was, because I find the plan fascinating given the issues that arose around weather.
Yeah, well, originally our plan was to drive south towards the closest point of totality, which is just north of Kansas City in St. Joseph, Missouri. That's about 6.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our plan. And up until a couple days before we left, we were good. However, we started looking at some cloud coverage maps, and we found some really great websites that had kind of like predictive models for up to 80 hours out. And we started going, oh, shit. Am I allowed to say shit on this?
Oh, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. So we looked at this and we started going, oh, shit. And I, in particular, started getting like a whole bunch of anxiety because we had all of this huge cloud cover swath going across the Midwest.
You were looking at like radar or?
It was like a predictive cloud model.
Yeah.
And, you know, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. And in some areas, it was like 50% cloud coverage, but we didn't really want to have this big trip planned and then risk it on the roll of a die.
Right.
Sure. That would just be horribly.
Which is how clouds are made.
Yeah, you roll dice and you make clouds.
Exactly.
A random cloud generator.
Yeah. It's on the encounter tables and the DMG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we had a hotel originally in Des Moines because we couldn't get any hotels in St. Joseph because we're terrible planners. Everything's been sold out for just months and months and months. We could have gotten a tent space on Airbnb in someone's front yard for $300.
When did you decide to go? Like, what? How? I mean, like you say months and months. When did you decide to do this? How?
It was like 2 months ago we started really planning.
Shit, yeah, 2 months, you know, ahead of time, and there was nothing.
No, seriously. My mom, her birthday is the 21st. She turned 75, and she's like, I want to see a total solar eclipse
total
on my 75th birthday.
Waterfall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she knew she wanted to do this in January,
mm-hmm,
and was trying to find a hotel in the path of the totality and could not, mm-hmm, find
wow
one.
Yeah. So our original plan because I work at the Renaissance Festival and I wasn't going to, you know, get off work until 7 o'clock.
I don't know what that's like.
Right. It was a drive down to Des Moines, which is about 4 hours south of Minneapolis. Overnight there, get up really early in the morning, drive down again to St. Joseph because the traffic was predicted to be really, really tough, and then see it and then kind of just cannonball back to Minnesota and be back at work the next day. And the clouds just fucked all of that up. So then we started looking at Nebraska because Nebraska was supposed to be good. So I got a second hotel room in Sioux City, Iowa with the same idea. And then I felt like an idiot because Sioux City and Des Moines are pretty much the same distance from Nebraska. So I was like, well. And then Nebraska started looking like it was fucked. So we had some serious conversations and we're like, well, do we want to risk it at 50-50 or do we want to have close to 100%?
And of course, my answer to everything is, let's drive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Melissa
drive everywhere.
Melissa does road trips like some other people.
Eat pizza.
Yeah.
I would say Melissa does very little in half measures.
Yeah.
And Melissa's an all in kind of lady.
Yeah.
it's a 60 situation.
So when the decision was made to go see the eclipse, Melissa was going to make it fucking happen. Mm-hmm. is pretty much how it pans out, right? Yeah.
Right.
And so, it's the summer of Lori.
It is the summer of Lori.
You guys know it's hashtag summer of Lori. Therefore, we have to make it happen.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to see a fucking eclipse because.
Damn right.
And wait.
So our listeners are like, what the fuck? Summer of Lori? I don't even understand. All right.
The
explain.
The next total eclipse that's going to be in North America is 2099.
No. It's April 2024.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah. 2099 is when it actually crosses over Minnesota and we don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah. I am really looking forward to it, by the way.
I totally plan to live there.
Oh, yeah, I'll totally be alive in 2099. That'll happen.
I had a great-granduncle who lasted to 110, so I figure I can do that.
I'm a type 2 diabetic. It's not going to happen.
Women and
CRISPR. We'll be fine.
Well, not with that attitude, Tim.
Yeah. Or not when I murder Tim with murder most foul.
You just got to murder me with sugar, but I'm trying to do that anyway. Anyway, moving on.
So cloud cover.
Mm-hmm. And so then we progressed to a hotel room in Rapid City, South Dakota. And then we go, maybe we could see the eclipse at Carhenge. In
which
Alliance, Nebraska.
Carhenge is amazing. It's a Stonehenge made out of cars.
That's what I thought it was.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right in the path of totality. It's like,
That sounds like where the cars would come alive, a la machines coming to life and killing us all.
So it's like Maximum Overdrive.
Exactly like Maximum Overdrive, but better written with a better ending.
I kind of feel like everything traces back to a Stephen King book with Molly.
Kind of.
Well,
anyway,
it would make Nebraska a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it. Husband. So okay. So you. What ended up being the final plan?
Well, the hotel room in Rapid City stuck, and so we figured that was at least towards the direction of the least clouds, and then we could stop for 4 or 5 hours, have a nap, and then wake up, reassess cloud cover, and then pick a direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it turns out that, we made it there, we had our nap, we checked, and we figured that Wyoming was going to be
the best. Oh, shit.
Well, you were awful close to Wyoming at that point anyway, right? I mean,
quote, close.
Well, you were in Rapid City. It's only another 30 miles to Wyoming from there.
It's a little more than that.
It's a lot more than that. To the border, yes.
That's what I said.
We wound up driving to Douglas, Wyoming, which is...
Was 3.5 hours.
Yeah. It's a hike. Mm.
And that was in the path of totality. And we were intending originally to go to Casper, which is maybe 45 minutes down the road. But we stopped at this truck stop because we wanted to use the facilities. And we're like, well, they've got a bathroom here. And then we're looking at, and they had a full little restaurant cafe truck stop thing. And we're like, oh shit, they have pie.
They have pie.
Nothing better than a total eclipse with pie. Well, I mean, I assume
bathrooms and pie.
Yeah.
So
all your basic human needs covered.
Yeah. Lori, you posted on Facebook, I believe, a photo of the line for the restroom, which was something 40 people, it looked like, at least from your picture. It was insane. And they were a mixed genders. Were they gender neutral bathrooms in Wyoming?
Oh, God, no. No, it was.
Well, there was one, but that was the employee bathroom.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They
had those guys.
There were so
they
many
had a
people.
Shower.
Interesting.
There were so many people at this truck stop. It was probably like 100 people, just this random truck stop. It wasn't like a nature preserve. It was nothing. Well, it was actually a pretty cool truck stop. They had the best omelet I've ever had in my life.
Omelets and pie?
I know, and a solar eclipse. It was a really great weekend.
Pretty great.
So far,
what?
Mm-hmm. Were all the people there for the eclipse, or was it just a popular spot?
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely there for the eclipse. And the parking lot, just your regular Wyoming truck stop parking lot, were probably 100 different people. They had huge telescopes set up. There were people who had driven up from New Mexico who had the, what was that called?
I forget what it's called. It's like a glorified pinhole telescope, but it actually has a lens, but it was crafted out of wood, and it was beautiful.
It was amazing.
Like a little ramp and triangulation thing, and it projected the image of the sun on this piece of paper, and the sun was, I don't know, about 4 or 5 inches across.
Crazy.
It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
But so they had a little tent that said, was it University of Alamogordo or something?
Yeah.
So they were all just like standing around talking about eclipse
pretty much
the whole time.
Yeah, it was like a little eclipse convention that happened in the dusty middle of nowhere.
I feel like there's got to have been at least one guy who was just blissfully unaware of what was going on, who rolled up to his favorite truck stop, you know, just for his usual omelet and pie, his usual Monday morning omelet and pie.
Because he was,
what the heck?
And he's listening to the one country music radio station in the nation that doesn't mention the eclipse.
Right, right.
Although I feel like Wyoming absorbed, like, probably about 12 times its population.
Well, it sounds like it sounds like 12 times its population was at that truck stop.
Yeah. Oh, you hadn't seen
Zing on Wyoming.
Friends.
I'm not pissing anybody off. What's your problem?
I have a friend who lives in Casper, Wyoming. He's actually a reporter there, and I've been seeing the photos come in all week of people gathering in Casper. I think Casper absorbed all of Denver.
Oh, wow.
Right. Well, given that was, I mean, the path of totality was heavily overcast for a lot of it. So that was one of the areas that was really going to be an area people could get to. My Pat and my younger son, they went down to Lincoln, Nebraska, and they're still driving home. They aren't home yet. But so I don't know what they were able to see from there or not, because they said it was cloudy, but they saw something. So I don't know if they saw darker clouds or what they got to see, but
I saw a great shirt one of my coworkers shared online. It's Minnesota Eclipse 2017. It's a picture of the state of Minnesota and a radar map of the cloud cover covering 95% of the state. The day of the eclipse.
Yeah.
Just like, that was our eclipse.
Two notes. I did notice that I went out for a walk around 11:30 in the morning, and it was bright sunshine, and there were no clouds, and I was like, damn, it's a nice sunny day. And then I looked outside the window at around 2 o'clock, and it looked like evening.
Yeah.
And that was super cool. Like, despite the cloud cover, it looked like evening time out there. But my follow-up question is, did you buy any plants?
No.
I'm a musical theater nerd. I'm very worried that you guys bought some plants at a truck stop.
I, too, have been in that show.
Yes.
And no, I did not buy plants.
Nothing.
Okay, well, that's a relief. So you're there. There's like 100 people at this truck stop with telescopes and everything else. And
I brought all my gear.
And you brought all your gear. What gear? What
photos.
Gear did you bring, Melissa?
I brought all my prosumer camera equipment. Pretty much I took all the crap I have that is computer related, put it in one bag. It was a very heavy bag. and a tripod, and we just barreled out there. So I had all my GoPro stuff, because I knew that when I put my big camera on the tripod, I didn't want to move it around so much. So I had the GoPro for snapping photos of people. And the camera rig I have, it's a Sony Alpha 580. So it's not a full sensor camera. It's still just a 3/4 sensor, but it's a decent DSLR. And
camera nerds are now like sitting there nodding. The rest of us are like, whatever, camera.
I did have all my lenses, but the one that I used is one that I've used like once before, and I've had it for years, but I've been keeping it around even though it's a shitty lens. It's a 300 millimeter telephoto lens, which is about a
a third again the focal length of the largest lens that I usually use,
okay.
Which means it's hard to handle handheld. It's too shaky because you get it zoomed in so much that just your normal hand,
like, yeah.
Yeah, breathing. Yeah. It's difficult to handle and not have blurry photos, mm-hmm. and also it just didn't have great optics and it doesn't behave well in low light. But you know what? When you are pointing a camera at the sun, you actually want to absorb as little light as possible. Otherwise, you fry your camera. So,
I was going to ask, did you use any kind of solar filters or did you have a tripod?
I did have a tripod and the camera was still shaking because it was a little windy that day, mm-hmm. and you could just see the image jumping all around.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not think ahead far enough to get a solar filter. Also, they're freaking expensive. But what I did have on hand, because I played around with infrared photography for a while, I had a whole series of infrared pass filters. So each one blocks out all light except for a specific wavelength of light. So I have one for 680 nanometers. I have one for 720 nanometers. I have one for 760, 850, 950. And they get progressively darker, quote, darker, like further into the infrared spectrum.
They let in fewer wavelengths,
yes.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And so the wavelengths coming into the camera are not visible to the human eye, but camera sensors are able to see slightly into the UV and infrared range. Mm. And there are usually filters placed in front of the sensors to filter that out, because when they absorb that light, they record it as visible light. So it tends to add noise to the photographs. But you can exploit that and actually get some near-infrared photography if you have the right filters on it.
That's awesome.
I've heard a lot of talk about the diamond ring.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know what it is.
I'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I figured just by cutting all the sunlight down to a single wavelength, I would cut down the amount of light enough that it wouldn't fry my camera. And I was right. It was great. So I was playing around with these infrared filters as the disk of the moon was starting to come in and include the sun. And it's kind of tricky to focus on when you have an infrared filter on, because first of all, it tends to come in really dim, and second of all, the light focuses differently because the wavelength is a different. The focus points on the camera don't match up to where it would on visible light, so you have to like tweak it a little bit, and you have to like manually focus to where it should be. So it was really fussy.
On your camera?
No, not that one. But you know, after
what
a little
the fuck kind
around,
of camera is
right?
that? I mean,
what
Jesus.
Is this bullshit?
Yeah.
But it was pretty great because I could turn the camera to just the live view because it has a LCD screen on the back, and just watch the eclipse through different wavelengths of infrared. And so the optics on that lens aren't super clear. So pretty much you just see a crescent in varying colors, mm-hmm. and that's what the photos look like. But when I got home at 3 a.m. this morning, I couldn't resist. I downloaded the photos off my camera and took a brief look at some of the images, and I could actually see sunspots.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, you know that photo that's coming around from NASA where they had caught the ISS crossing in front of the...
Yeah, that's wicked cool.
I happened to take a photo at that moment, and you can see the little blurry spot.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yes, and it's like, it's very clear that's exactly what it is, because the flanking photos don't have that spot, and it's pretty much just about where it is in the NASA photo. It's like, yes,
so
I caught the ISS.
How long from the moment the disk of the moon starts to cover the sun to the moment it's done covering the sun, how long does an eclipse last?
It was a while. Yeah.
It was a while.
Yeah.
I believe that it started at 10:22 Mountain Time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we achieved total eclipse until, was it 11? 44.
That's something like
like that.
It takes a while.
So and then,
it
took a while. About the same amount of time for the moon to pass away from the sun.
Yeah. And
then
in totality is like 2 or 3 minutes long.
Less than
right in the middle.
It was like 90 to 120 seconds. We could probably look it up on the interwebs or something, but it was a very short period of time for a 13-hour drive out to Douglas, Wyoming.
No, that sounds amazing.
But so now, Lori, were you both wearing your eclipse glasses and staring directly at the eclipse? Or Melissa, were you just staring at your camera and taking endless pictures as it happened?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Okay.
We had eclipse glasses, which were a challenge to get.
There's a story.
There is a story. My husband Seth and I had purchased eclipse glasses a month or two ago. We got a 3-pack off of Amazon, and then we found out maybe 4 or 5 days before the eclipse that ours were being recalled because they weren't safe.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah, that happened to a lot of people.
They didn't have the specific number on them. I read about that.
No. They had it on there, but it was fraudulent.
Oh, my God.
So we were really pissed off.
Counterfeit eclipse glasses.
They were counterfeit eclipse glasses. So that left us in a little bit of a bind. And, of course, everyone is price gouging at this point. And our option was to get a 10-pack off of Amazon and overnight them. And it cost us $161 for a 10-pack.
But what the fuck? If you're going to drive to the middle of Wyoming starting at 5 o'clock the night before the eclipse.
You sell them on the back of your car. Eclipse glasses. $16.
You know, we thought about it. We really did, and that was the original plan, but we got there, and there was, Melissa said it was almost like this little eclipse convention. It was like a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I missed this because I think I was going to the bathroom or standing in like the half hour line or something.
Eating pie.
Yeah. But apparently I missed this trucker coming up in, a big old, cowboy hat rolling up saying, "You folks here for the eclipse?" "Hey, you want to hear what some chapstick? We want to make sure that you feel welcome by the state of Wyoming. So here's some chapstick courtesy of Wyoming."
Wow.
And he just, Wyoming chap lips.
So this trucker was just handing out chapstick.
Yeah.
So we had these 7 extra pairs of glasses. So a couple of minutes before the partial eclipse started, Seth and I just started walking around the gas station offering them to people. And people at first were like, no, I'm cool. I got it. And we're like, "Are you sure they're free?"
I'm like the president. I'm just going to look at it.
Yikes.
Sigh.
But after they figured out, that there's no gimmick, we're not trying to sell them. Yeah. We just have extras. We're trying to be nice. We got rid of all of them in like 5 minutes.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And I got to tell you, it felt really good because about less than 5 minutes before the total eclipse happened, this car rolled up with 2 women and these little kids, they're selling Girl Scout cookies, and they had opportunists, and they had renditions.
Yeah.
They had artist renditions of the eclipse that they were selling, and they had a huge handful of solar eclipse glasses. And they kept going up to all of the people that we had approached, "Does anyone here need glasses?" And everyone was like, "Yeah, we're good." And I was like, "Yeah, fuck you, scalper." We got them first.
Get out of here, Braden.
I love the idea of eclipse glasses scalpers.
Especially if they're shiny children who also have cookies.
I know. And it's like you've got 10 minutes to sell these and then they're worthless.
It was awful. These 2 women were walking around and the little 4-year-old kid was holding all these glasses two steps behind her, just looking forlorn. And it was...
And the worst thing is they didn't get to watch the eclipse, because the kids didn't get to watch the eclipse because they were trying to sell glasses, right?
Well, there was a point when all of us were just they probably saw it, but
you don't know. You were looking at the eclipse.
I wasn't looking at those assholes.
Didn't care.
All right, so let's get to the diamond ring question.
Yeah.
I know the answer, but I was not there, so I will leave it up to you two to talk about it.
So yeah, when you're in the path of totality, what they're talking about is the moon completely covers the disk of the sun. And so the only thing you see is the aura.
The corona.
Mm-hmm. You see if there's really big solar flares, you might see them. There are little red spots where you can just barely see a little bit of sun coming through the peaks and valleys on the moon.
Because the moon is not perfectly round.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the logo of the ring. It's up there in the sky. It's a black hole in the sky, and then and the light gets weird.
Oh, the light was so weird in advance.
Yeah, because it's like dark, like dusk, but you know when dusk falls, the light is gold because the sun is going through more atmosphere and yada, 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 and the angle of the light physics things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that. It's that pure bright white of daylight is just getting dim. It's like somebody took a switch on a wall and going,
Like an opacity filter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like dim like a cloudy day, but the shadows are sharp. It does not
Which
register.
Explains why animals get all freaked out.
Yeah. Birds go apeshit.
Yeah.
Crickets start chirping.
I follow a bear on Twitter and he was very confused.
Yes.
So the diamond ring effect.
And the diamond ring, so you get the halo and the black hole in the middle of the sky and everybody goes, oh, and we applauded. We applauded the sun and moon. It was pretty great. And
I cried.
Yeah.
It really is.
Fogged up your glasses.
It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to witness. And so when the disk of the moon just starts moving on and the first tiniest bit of arc of the sun appears, it's like this supernova. Mm-hmm. It just goes, and this bright light just kind of erupts from that ring. And it looks like a diamond ring. So you can still see the full ring of the corona, but with
like a faceted gemstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This glowing.
And I get it. Yeah. You posted a picture that you got of that
was
moment.
That's what made me think of it. Was I was like, oh, I get that it's called a diamond ring, but I wasn't sure if it was something to do with the entire ring of it, or if it was actually that looked like a gem.
It's the little gem on top of the ring.
I wasn't familiar with the phenomenon at all until just now. So I was thinking like a diamond shape. A diamond ring, like a piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So we are getting close to the point we have to do five questions. I had to make a comment about the eclipse. And one of the reasons that I just wanted to talk about it, I was listening to somebody on a radio station, and they were just talking about people who are idiots for waiting in traffic for 5 hours to get into the path of totality. And I was just like, to me, it's like, fuck you if this is something that people are interested in. And I knew so many people that just decided, what the hell? I mean, if I hadn't had to work at Renaissance Festival and I hadn't had one kid at home, I would have fucking gotten into my car and driven for 18 hours to see a total solar eclipse. No, not even a question mark. So it's like, fuck anybody who's like, well, fuck you for liking something.
It's the usual shitting on people for having an interest that you don't share.
That you don't give a fuck about.
There are people who wait 3 hours in traffic to get into the Renaissance Festival.
Right.
So.
And I guarantee you, when I'm done with the festival, I would not wait 3 hours in traffic to get into the Renaissance Festival.
And, you know, the adventures on the way are awesome, too. Because we got to ride a fiberglass jackalope.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Lori got to see Wall Drug for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, those two things would be at the same spot, I would think.
No. The jackalope was,
it was in Mitchell,
South Dakota, mm-hmm. home of the Corn Palace.
Cool, I was just but there's say, a fiber corn palace.
Yes.
There's a fiberglass jackalope at Wall Drug.
Yes, I know, but we
that's
felt
a
like
half a jackalope.
It's half a jackalope. It's a half a lope.
It's not.
And by that time, we're like, you know what? It's been done. We're okay.
We saw the whole jackalope. So I guess it's just not that impressive.
I love the whole jackalope. My favorite British movie.
To the people who say, you know, why would you travel that far when you get 85 or whatever percent it was here in Minnesota? I will say that it was the difference between 99% totality and 100% totality, literally night and day.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
I
think I would travel just about any distance to see you.
2024.
It's on our calendar.
Yep.
That awesome. Moment.
I mean, literally, it's you know, on the calendar.
I'm into it.
Yeah, the moment that the moon's just completely covers the sun. That's when it's like sunset on all horizons. It's 360-degree sunset, and then the core of the sky is just blackness. You can see stars.
The wind died down. It got 5 degrees colder.
It was more than that. Somebody was measuring temperature. It dropped probably a total of 20 degrees while we were in the shadow.
And then it just ended. And it had this surreal quality because it felt like the world was back to normal.
Yeah.
And here were all of us here at this gas station, and we had had this shared experience. And then you're like, did that really happen? Mm-hmm. Did I get transported to the fairyland? You know, what the hell, you know? And
then I led you to the tree.
And then you led me to the tree.
That sounds creepy. What happened at the tree?
Okay, so something that happens during even just partial eclipses. If you look at a leafy tree and look at the shadow on the ground... All the
little
spaces,
slivers.
Yeah, all the spaces between the leaves act as pinhole cameras and project little projections of the sun on the ground. So you see all these little crescents and can watch the
Very cool. I've seen a lot of pictures of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also you can do the same thing with the kitchen colander.
My favorite picture I saw was all the people with their cereal box pinhole cameras aiming them at the sun.
And looking through the pinhole?
Like, that's like not how somehow you do it. A hole in a cereal box is what kept you safe from this.
All right.
I saw a picture of someone with a colander. Might have been like White House chef or something. But yeah.
All right, so we do need to move on to five questions because we have two people to answer them.
Yeah,
that's true.
So we have you. Neither one of you have answered our new five questions, Lori. Obviously, you've never been on the podcast before,
welcome.
So your first time. And Melissa, you've been on the podcast many times, but
that was your cherry.
But still, that was your Geeks Without God cherry pop. So, Nick, why don't you start us off with question number one?
Yeah, what conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
Well, I'm not, I mean, I don't follow any conspiracy theories. Like, I don't really believe in them myself. But the one that I find most compelling just because of how people respond to it is the whole idea of aliens visiting Earth thousands of years ago and helping with the pyramids. Because there's whole sorts of books written about it and shitty aliens.
Ancient aliens.
And all of those ancient alien shows, people believe that. And it just boggles my mind. And I've tried to have conversations and just saying, okay, we need to apply the scientific method here. And it just doesn't sink in. So I think it's really just people's reaction to it that is fascinating.
Try
to
explain to them how racist it is.
Yeah,
that helps.
Right? Yeah. That, brown people cannot possibly
have built the
pyramids.
It's super racist. It's always about the brown people that didn't have the technology to build a thing.
Mm-hmm. I never thought of that before, and I'm going to bring it up every time now.
It is,
All right. Melissa.
Oh, right now I'm really fascinated by all the theories about how George Reeves died. The guy
what?
Who did the guy who played Superman on TV in the 50s.
It
was ruled a suicide, but there were theories and fairly well supported.
There's a movie about it.
Yeah, Hollywoodland.
Yeah, which
it's not a great movie, but
it's not a great movie, but it actually is like it shows you multiple theories as to how he died.
Yeah.
Is it weird that he has the same name as Chris Reeves?
Yeah, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
It is weird. It is weird.
It's the great Superman conspiracy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But, there are many, many other alternate explanations. All the different ways he could have been murdered and probably was, but, you know.
Is there one in particular that's super ridiculous?
There was a woman who was married to somebody else, but she was kind of seeing him on the side for a while, but then he rebuffed her and started seeing another lady. So the first lady he was seeing turned really stalkery, like she was lingering outside his house for hours, sitting in her car, that sort of thing. And so one of the theories is that she murdered him, but since she was actually married to a Hollywood mogul, there was this big cover-up.
Sure.
I think she was married to Eddie Mannix, who was the guy who was fictionalized in Hail Caesar.
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go.
That guy was basically a fixer, but like on the mafioso level.
Yeah.
And so, like, since she was connected to him, he covered up her murder of her boyfriend just so nobody went digging into their lives. And so there's apparently additional support where they pulled back some of the carpeting. There were additional bullet holes under the carpeting. It's like, I don't think George would have shot himself multiple times.
Well, what if he missed? You know? I mean, what if he missed?
Yeah.
I think that's...
Multiple times.
That's what you're not thinking about right here, Melissa. Okay.
I know.
So, Molly, why don't we do question number two?
Question two. If you had a perfect two-week vacation, what would it be? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
So no trips to Mars.
I'm
if you have an answer,
time with vamping,
you know, I I think what I would do is probably go to China or Malaysia or someplace and just kind of country hop for a couple of weeks. I did the same thing in Europe about 2 years ago. It was a year ago. Did the same thing for about 3 weeks there and really enjoyed it.
Honeymoon kind of thing, right?
Right, yeah. for that thing. And yeah. I think I would really enjoy doing the same thing in a part of the world where I'm not as familiar with the culture and it's not as Eurocentric. Mm-hmm. Because I really enjoyed it the first time. Yeah. Right?
Let's see. My original answer to this question is a trip I already took. So, if you had asked me this question in 2014, I would have said hike the length of Hadrian's Wall, coast to coast, which I did, and it was amazing.
That's
so
on my list.
So then I had to recalibrate, and I'm doing that trip next year. So I'm going to Antarctica.
Ooh. Oh.
Fancy.
I'm going to be at Elephant Island on my birthday.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Got to eat a stick of butter a day. Anne Bancroft talked in my school. That's all I know.
Stick of butter every day.
Well, I'm going to be on a cruise. I'm going to be on a cruise ship, so I'm going to be well fed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no problem with getting butter on a cruise ship. Okay, question number three. What is a movie or book that changed your life?
Ooh.
Changed it.
I'm going to pick book because if you know me, I'm just a very lazy movie watcher and I've only seen a handful of movies.
Lazy.
I would have to say it would be the Hyperion series Dan Simmons. Ooh. There is one line in the book that is just two words. It's a choose again. And the whole idea of every day you want to get up and you want to choose your actions all over again, even if it's the same thing that you did before, was really profound for me. And for about 10 years, I actually had the words framed above my alarm clock. But this was before I ditched my alarm clock because we all had iPhones. But I had it so it'd be the very first thing that I saw whenever I woke up. And it still sticks with me. I actually very cleverly wrote it into my wedding vows as well.
No.
So. I remember that.
Right?
I did Lori's wedding, so I remember that. No, but for real, I do. I didn't realize the context. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
I listened to the audiobook versions just in the last year. Mm-hmm. It's super good. Mm-hmm. Very, very poetic. By design.
All right, Melissa.
Oddly, I'm picking a book. Actually, I'm picking two books.
Which is weird, because Melissa's the movie girl.
Yeah. My easy answer is, Star Wars, because it was the third movie I ever saw in a theater. But, seriously, when I was in high school, back to back, I read Catch 22 and Slaughterhouse-Five, which are kind of an amazing double feature in book terms.
And they're not both by Kurt Vonnegut.
We just discussed that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yes, one is by Joseph Heller. Molly, you idiot.
So, yeah, first of all, reading them back to back was a great experience. But the way both of the books bring the most horrible things that some of the most horrible things that mankind has visited upon itself into relief by using humor, which was very impactful to me at the time. So
that's great. Yeah.
All right, Nick, question number four.
What's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
Knowing you both, I'm super excited to hear.
Yeah,
what
we have.
Is.
We have a lot to choose from.
You can't be driving whatever many hours to go see the total eclipse.
Oh, that's not the geekiest thing I've done.
I know.
I've been trying to think about this here, and I think I have one story that no one here has heard before, and it's right, and it dates.
I've known Lori since I was 14, so I'm very excited about this.
It dates back to about that time when I was in eighth grade. We had an English assignment; it was an honors English class, and we had to write a short story. Just typical thing, and what I chose to do was to write a 46-page choose-your-own-adventure about Xanth.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I had illustrations and everything.
Well, it was about Xanth.
It was about Xanth.
If you had illustrations, how many pairs of panties did you draw?
Right?
I didn't draw any because I hated that book.
That's the worst.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that my English teacher only gave me an A because she couldn't figure out what the hell it was.
It was definitely an A for effort. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I'm so into this.
You still have it?
No, I wish I did. I think I threw it away in shame when I was like 17.
Oh, no.
And now I really wish I still had it.
Of course.
All right, Melissa.
Oh, okay. So back when HeroClix was a thing, do you remember HeroClix?
Oh, yeah.
It's still kind of a thing.
I have a Doctor Doom HeroClix with my collection of Doctor Doom stuff.
Yeah, so those little HeroClix action figures. I suddenly became very interested one day in how big an Ego the Living Planet HeroClix would be.
I remember this.
If it were to scale. Yes. Yes, yes, you remember. Cause
I remember.
This played out one day on LiveJournal.
It did.
Oh my God,
LiveJournal!
So
it did.
So on LiveJournal, I post this long treatise about, you know, first of all, my results and how I arrived at them. So I used stoichiometry. And a figure of Aquaman. So assuming that Aquaman is 6 feet tall.
All right.
Because I figured this out in units of Aquaman.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, I figure, you know, he's Nordic, you know, six feet.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good. Ego the Living Planet would be 72 miles wide. Which would be from my office desk at the time to Delano, Minnesota.
But how many Aquaman was it?
Oh, that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Shit, that's gonna.
I'm
gonna lose sleep over this now.
I've seen people do similar calculations for the X-Wing miniatures game and be like, "All right, so if my X-Wing is this big, how big would we have to make a Death Star, like to actually like do a trench run with our figures?" It's I don't recall, so it's kind of a story.
It's pretty goddamn big.
It'd be like the size of a house.
It wouldn't be. Yeah. It wouldn't be the size of a moon. It would be the size of a space station.
It's no moon, Tim.
All right, Molly, question number five.
Question number five. What is your favorite hangover cure? And you're both frequent attendees of a MegaCon. So I believe you both. You're not going to give us the answer we've had most often is, I don't drink.
Well, and the Drinking with Geeks panel at Convergence, which quite frequently demolishes a person.
If you haven't been to the Drinking with Geeks panel at Convergence, y'all need to go because they are handed, I don't want to say gifted because it makes it sound like a good thing. They are handed horrifying alcohols.
I created the Drinking with Geeks panel.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. Well, it was Jerry Belich and me.
No, getting drunk.
No, we it was you. It's a collaboration.
Yeah, it's often. Anyway, so
favorite hangover.
So you clearly have been hungover.
I've seen them both hungover. I can confirm empirically this has happened. What's your favorite hangover cure?
I think mine is a little bit mundane, but I love McDonald's hash browns when I'm hungover. They're greasy, they're disgusting, they're just everything that I want to soak that up. And
the paper wrapper.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
They're basically just a big flat tater tot.
It's my window to sobriety.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice. Perfect. Very nice.
Melissa.
So, well, my favorite preventative is to trade alcoholic drink with water. So,
well,
like every other. But
like a scientist.
Yes. I have this down to a science.
It's mixology.
I have a podcast with Wendy Bowlesby. I have to pace myself.
I've been
sometimes
on that, and I got super trashed.
Yes, you did. In my basement.
Yeah, girl.
That might be feminism. Huh? So, but my favorite cure at the moment, because Wendy and I got super trashed like 2 weeks ago. And
weird.
Oh, my God.
Hard to believe.
And we had to both get up and move into other things the following day. We're like, oh. So we went to Fat Nat's, which is a little tiny cafe near my house. And it's been running forever nowadays. But there's a guy named Matt, and he is fat. He's a big guy. And this little cafe, They make their own chorizo. They make green chili sauce that is very nearly like Santa Fe standards of green chili sauce.
It's impressive for Minnesota.
Fantastic, like Tex-Mex breakfast foods. And it's just, they just do breakfast. And so we went there figuring, yeah, this could be good. And,
yeah.
And I ordered, what I ordered was, they have a version of Eggs Benedict where they have the English muffin and the meat on it is carnitas.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Egg, ladle on the green chili sauce. And that stuff is freaking magic.
It sounds really good.
It is so good. It is so good.
It sounds really good.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right. So, that's your hangover cure. That's great.
Does it eclipse other hangover cures?
Oh.
Brought it back around.
Hold on. Hold on.
Around.
Totally.
All right. Well, Melissa and Lori, thank you for joining us and telling us your eclipse story. That sounds fantastic. We'll try to make sure that we go with you the next time there's a total eclipse.
And I'm going to get drunk because apparently that's the lesson we're learning.
Yeah. Total eclipse and get drunk. Also, truck stops. So if you saw the eclipse, we'd love to hear your eclipse story. Feel free to comment on our website or on our Facebook page. Maybe the moon did go in front of the sun. Maybe that happened. Maybe that was a thing. Maybe not, because you believe the earth is flat and you're stupid. Right? I don't know.
If you're a flat earther, I really want to hear what you thought happened.
If you're a flat earther, I want to understand why you're listening to this podcast. But anyway, all that aside, thank you for sharing your stories. We've been Geeks Without God. Of course, we do still have our Patreon going on. We do have our 5 questions out there. And at the moment, only 2 answers in the queue. That means it would be super easy for you to be the next person, especially if you're a Patreon supporter, where you get bumped right to the top of what is already a very short queue. And, that's right. We just had a new pledge today. We want to do a shout-out to Joe Davis for pledging our Patreon. We really appreciate that, Joe, and, of course, everybody else who has pledged so far. We've been Geeks Without God, and I'm going to just stop talking now because we're done.
Bye.
Bye.
I said we were done.
We're done!
God damn it. Nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the sun.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Find supplies for your tabernacle at Home Depot.